that it's still well. Thank you for the good song tonight. Thank you again for being here. And we're going to go back to Proverbs this evening. And I sure appreciate you being here. God has been real good to us, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
We had a great day Sunday. I mean, it was so good to see a lot of guests here. And, you know, whenever you have big days, if you want to call it that, you ask people to invite people to church, and there's always in the back of your mind, what if nobody comes, right? But, we have little faith. Sometimes we kind of sell God short on what he can do. And then I appreciate your faithfulness tonight. I want you to turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. We want to begin in verse number 1. And we'll go down through verse number 4. I noticed when we were singing, I did good all before church. And then I got something. I must have swallowed something. I don't know. I must have swallowed a bug or something. But something that got in my throat. Brother Brad, I couldn't sing. And so I'm probably not going to preach long tonight. Maybe 45 minutes, an hour.
Amen. Preach on, brother.
Notice verse number 1 of chapter 24. And again, it's almost like it's been written today, right? The Bible said, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Now again, understand something that is definitely not popular today. It's this thing called separation,
right?
And God's people are to be different than the world. And it is amazing to me how much of the world we're trying to embrace. And we do it, and we'll say, well, we've got to win them, right? We've got to win them, so therefore we have to cater to them. And here's my question. If we're doing the same thing they're doing, why would they change?
That's right. Amen.
Right? And so the Bible said in verse number 2, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief, and through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And so tonight I want to preach on this thought, how to create wealth. Now, again, we have to change the way we think about things, because what the world would consider wealth and what the Bible considers wealth are not the same thing. Now, one of the definitions, if you talk to a financial planner about wealth, it's not necessarily how much stuff you have, but the definition of wealth is when you have enough in your investments, notice that word investments,
right?
To pay your bills and not have to go to a job to pay your bills. That is what wealth is considered. And I would say this, that if you're saved by the grace of God and we believe what the Bible tells us, that he will supply our needs, then we're already wealthy.
Amen.
And so we've got to revamp the way we think as believers, because we may not ever be at the place where we have all the things that the world says we should have. And so as we have to redefine what our world and culture has defined. So God has a definition for things, and we have a definition for things, right? God's definition is biblical. Our definition is carnal. And so the world would define wealth as riches, monetary gain, temporal things. God's definition of wealth is different than that. And wealth consists of things that can't be defined with a dollar amount. You can't put a dollar amount on your salvation. Matter of fact, the Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? So we know that salvation costs, it costs us nothing, but it costs God the most valuable thing he had. And so as we change our perspective, we can all be wealthy. Now, maybe we'll never retire, right? Maybe we'll never have all the trinkets of life, and maybe we'll never have, you know, the biggest house in the neighborhood or the nicest car, and that's okay.
Amen.
Because if all we're living for is this world, then you and I would be considered paupers a lot of times, right? But see, this is just a temporal place. In other words, this is a temporary place that we're pilgrims passing through, and so I wouldn't get so caught up in putting all my eggs in one basket. Well, if you had eggs, that'd be good, praise God, right? But I wouldn't be so concerned about all the stuff I accumulate here, because we know that according to the Word of God, everything here is going to be burned up. And so what we're to do is lay up our treasures in heaven, right? And so how do we create wealth? How do we as believers create this thing of spiritual wealth, if you want to call it? I don't know if I'd call it that. Matter of fact, Brother Johnny, it's just, honestly, it's just common sense living. And that's not common. Common sense is not common anymore, is it? And so how do we, as God's people, live in this sin-cursed world? I started reading a book this week by Andrew Murray on the Holy Spirit, and man, it was so good. Because we start looking at this principle of the kingdom of God, and we're thinking, you know, well, one day when we get to heaven, it's all well. Here's the thing: we already have the presence of God living in us. So we don't have to wait till one day when we get there. And I understand in that day it's going to be much better. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no pain. And thank God, one day you and I as believers will be there. But until we get there, we don't have to simply struggle through life. We can still enjoy the presence and power of God. And so how do you and I live in this world? And Solomon here is teaching us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit how you and I can create wealth. And like I said, I'm not talking about monetary wealth. I'm talking about that life, that profitable life that you and I need to live in this world and beyond. So how do we do it? Well, number one, he tells us to be wary. And the Bible said in verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men.
Right.
Now, you just saw this weekend, right? You just saw there's a big football game. And every year in that football game, they get these rock stars, rappers, whoever, right, to do the halftime show.
Right.
And they're perverted.
Right.
They're wicked.
Yeah.
And we look at not just them, but we look at, you know, entertainers, athletes, et cetera, and they're making all this money, and many of them are doing ungodly things.
Right.
And there's a side of us, and I say that in general, right, not pointing to you and me necessarily. I'm talking about mankind. There's a side of us going, I'd like to have that. Not necessarily their lifestyle, but the wealth that they've accumulated. And so if we're not careful, we'll get enamored by that, and we're willing to do some things, right? Put ourselves in some positions, embrace some things that we know. Watch this. But Jimmy, they may be lawful, but they're not moral. They may be lawful, but they're not ethical. They may be lawful, but they're not biblical. And so what we're being warned about here is when you focus on these men, right, evil men, just because they have stuff, just because they have power, just because they have prestige,
right,
don't envy that.
Right.
Because if you're truly a Christian, a believer in Christ, you've trusted him as your Savior, this is the worst you're ever going to have it. But if you're not a believer, this is the best you're ever going to have. And when you look at eternity and you look at this spot of time that we call life, 76 years, the average lifespan, 76 years in the scope of eternity, it's not much. And so what he's warning about here is that we're not to live our life being envious of people that may have more worldly goods,
right,
more intellect, right, more power, whatever it is in you, that in your life, whatever you look at and say, I'd do just about anything to have that, you better be careful.
Right.
So he says, for their hearts, he clarifies, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief.
Right.
And so he tells us to be weary of evil men's company. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us that we need to be careful who we surround ourselves with. Even previously in the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells his son to surround himself with wise counsel.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you remember he had some godly men.
Yes.
That would have given him counsel and did give him counsel, and he chose not to accept that counsel, but to go to his friends and take their counsel. And it cost him. So I'm going to say it again. You'd better be careful who you surround yourself with, who you let in your inner circle to give you counsel and give you advice. And you better not look for people that are yes men, but people that love God and are going to tell you the truth about the Word of God and what we're doing. Amen. So we live in a covetous world. I mean, it's everywhere you look. You need this to be happy. You need this to be content. If you'll go and buy this vehicle, isn't it amazing they always got the 0% financing, and you start reading down there at the fine print at the bottom? They know 0% nothing. They ain't nothing free,
right?
But it's out there. The marketing, the advertising is more. You need more. You need better. You need bigger. You need stronger, right? You need shinier. And we want what others have.
That's right.
And if we didn't, they wouldn't put it out there.
Right.
But the Bible tells us that we're to be content.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Contentment with godliness is what? Great gain.
Yes. Amen.
You ever thought maybe God doesn't give us more because we can't handle more?
Right.
Oh, not me, preacher. I know. I thought we'd already determined that our heart is deceitful. Right?
Yeah.
So often evil men seem to get ahead in this life, right? I mean, they got Jeffrey Epstein, right? He had an island, had a private plane. You know what? Where he's at now? In hell.
Right.
You better be careful.
Right.
Better be careful who your heroes are.
Good.
I'm not just talking about the young people.
That's right.
I'm talking about moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Everything's not like it seems. So If we are not alert, we can find ourselves being envious, right?
Yes, sir.
And this world is promoting that, right? Even you know what, Brother Russell, sometimes even what we would consider good things. As a pastor, well, I wish our church was bigger. I wish we had that building. I wish we had that ministry. I wish we had that. No. See, the thing is, I've got to be content where God has me. This is not my church. So he adds to it, right?
Yes,
and so you and I have to look at things. Well, the neighbors just got a new car, and well, who cares, right? The neighbors, their kids are acting like this, and mine, man, you better be careful with that. See, what I'm saying is if we're not careful, we can find the smallest things, and sometimes they're not even wicked, evil things.
Right.
But we're just not content with what God gives us. Many times, people have to stoop to wicked means to get what they have or what we think makes us successful. Just a little tweak, right? I know it's wrong, but you know the law says. You better be careful when the law says,
right?
See, the Bible tells us we're to do all things for the glory of God. So something may be a loophole here, but if it dings your character, you better be careful. If it doesn't bring glory to God, you better be careful. Amen? So we must keep evil men at arm's length, or we may be influenced by them.
Yes, sir.
Better be careful who you envy.
Amen.
Like nobody.
That's right?
Better be careful who you look up to. Better be careful who you let have your ear. Right? So not only of evil men's company, but evil men's comments. Verse 2 says, for their heart studieth destruction. You ever heard this saying? Rising water lifts all ships. You know what that means? That if we're all getting better, right? If we're elevating the whole,
right,
we're all getting better.
Right.
In other words, I'm not trying to tear this one down to build me up. You say, that's good preaching, preacher. They do that in the world. Look at these politicians. Look at Christians.
Right. Come on.
Look at churches.
Yes.
Look at preachers. Look at church members. Look at ministry leaders. Look at singers. Look at Sunday school teachers. You don't want to go to their class. I'm a better teacher. You know, listen, I should be singing every Sunday morning because I'm a better singer than so-and-so. You better be careful with that, friend, because I'm telling you, their heart studieth destruction. Whenever you're tearing down to build you up, there's something wrong. It's easy when we tear people down to elevate ourselves. But here's the key to it, right? Here's the bottom line of things, right? We live in a world where people don't want to take responsibility for themselves. You just don't, right? They don't want to take ownership. Sorry, I messed that up. That's my fault, right? I tell our brother Jimmy, if I'm wrong, tell me. I tell our mission, I don't care whose fault it is, let's just fix it. I mean, if all we're going to do is point fingers whose fault it is, we're not fixing the problem. Right, church? As a church, we don't need to point fingers. Well, you know, this is Brother Brad's fault, and this is Brother Jimmy's fault, and this is Brother Shane's fault, and Brother Johnny's, he's pointing Miss Beth and doing that, so it must be her fault, right? Doesn't matter whose fault it is. How are we going to fix it? You know what? In your marriage, if you quit assigning blame and just figure out how you're going to fix it, you have a whole lot better marriage. In a church, if we'll just say, you know what? It doesn't matter whose fault. If we're not winning people to Christ, that must not have been popular. Let me say it again. If we're not out winning people to Christ, the rest of it doesn't matter that much. Right? So we have to understand the heart studieth destruction and their lips talk of mischief. Yes. Boy, that's good. Better be careful. People always sowing discord.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Always negative.
Right.
Always got something to say about somebody else, right? Brother Marty, he did this. Brother Brad, he did this. Somebody gets like that, you know, you ought to say, what'd you do? Right? What'd you do?
Right. Go ahead,
man, I was there, and he did this, and he did that. Can you believe that? What'd you do to stop it?
Right. Well,
I didn't want to get involved. Well, you getting involved now?
Right?
Right? Okay. You're just going to stay out of it. Stay out of it.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. If they're talking about somebody else to you, they either are or soon will be talking about you to somebody else.
Right.
Huh?
You're right.
Hanley Milby, you said it this way. Whoop, whoop, amen. Right? See, so good men speak good things.
That's right.
Evil men speak evil things. Yeah. Well, preacher, that's elementary. Well, tell me why we can't understand it.
That's right.
I mean, if all we ever wanted was the good news, you'd turn Fox, MSNBC, CNN, you turn it off, wouldn't you? Because you don't ever hear good news on that. When you went, you know what? The National Enquirer would have gone out of business years ago. We want social media would shut down if it was all about good news, right? You got to have some Baptists fighting on there. It won't be a good day. Now they're fighting over this revival in Kentucky. Right? You got this one. You don't say what revival is. What is it? Well, if it's not this, it's not revival. You know what I say?
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Remember in the book of Acts? Was it Gamaliel? They went and started telling him about those apostles. He said, look, if it's of God, you ain't going to stop it anyway.
Right.
If it's not of God, it's going to fizzle out. See, the thing is, the more we are in their company, the more their enticing words can allure us.
Amen.
The more you're around those type people, the more you're sucked into what they're doing.
Right. Yes, sir.
So surround ourselves with godly men who speak godly things.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You just take somebody at work. come to church, man, they'll shout her out. Love Jesus, Brother Charles. They get to work, hang around some guys, talking bad about their wife, telling dirty jokes. They're embarrassed for a little while, right? Then they'll say something because they don't want to be an outcast. I mean, you know, how you going to win them to Christ if you're not amongst them, right? Before you know it, they've sucked him out of his godly lifestyle, right? Better be careful.
Yes, sir.
Ladies, I would say this, but it's about as bad for the men. Now, used to, ladies go to the hair salon so they could gossip. You ain't never been to a barber shop, have you? Better be careful, evil men's comments, their conversation. Be weary of it.
Amen.
Then number two, verse 3 and 4, he tells us to be wise.
Oh, yes.
He says, through wisdom is a house builded.
Yes, sir.
By understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
That's right.
So he says to be wise, and in verse 3, he tells us how to find a great house.
Yes.
Now, again, I don't think he was looking for a three-bedroom, two-bath. I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Right.
We build our house or our lives on God's word.
Right?
I mean, that's we're the house of the Holy Spirit, supposed to be, right?
Come on. Yes, sir.
We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
So how do we build this man up, right? Well, first thing we got to do is we got to stay away from the wrong thing. Brother Russell, that's where most of us Baptists stop, right? Separation to us means just stay away from all the bad stuff. But see, there's another side to this thing of separation, and it is putting in the right things where you take the wrong things out. Right? You want to change the way you eat and say, well, I'm not going to eat sweets anymore. Well, if you've been like me and ever tried that, you'll die. You'll fall on the floor and die. Because you got to put something in. You can't just not eat, right? You got to put something in where you took off.
That's right, man. Yes, sir.
You change your oil in your vehicle. You say, I got to get rid of that old dirty oil. That's great. But if you don't put new stuff in there,
right,
you're going to lock up.
Amen.
Or if you don't check it often, right? Make sure it's not low. So he tells us how to find. We build our house, our lives on God's word. If this is not the foundation of your life, then you will migrate to those negative things.
Right?
Because there's something inside of us that desires fellowship. Right? That's why church is important. Listen, you can say, well, I'll just watch it at home. Okay. You say, well, you don't have to go. I can worship God out in a boat somewhere. You can, but unless you take all of us with you, it ain't going to be in church, will it?
Right.
You say, well, I can listen to preaching on the radio. You sure can, and you should. I can pray at my house, and I can read my Bible at my house. I don't have to come to church to do that. You're right. Here's the problem. We need each other. God created us to desire fellowship.
Amen.
And you are going to fellowship somewhere with somebody. That's why if you're not going to the marriage retreat, you should.
Amen.
Right? By the way, we got 19 couples going. We need 20. 20 is a better number than 19. So if you didn't sign up, you need to sign up. I know it's late. Miss Ellen's going to kill me, but one more. If the intimacy is not there in marriage, because God created us not to be alone,
right?
If it's not there, there is the temptation to get it somewhere else.
You got it. You're right, Mom.
Hey, man.
You're right.
Sound like a bunch of folk need to go. So God created man and women to complement each other, right? And he put that desire for intimacy, that closeness, and when we don't have it, right? If you're in marriage and you had it, now you don't, somebody's going, I need it.
Come on, that's right.
So they go to work.
Come on.
This fella finds this lady at work. Yes, she's laughing at his jokes. Thinks he's funny. He's
right.
Entertaining,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Lady goes to work. Her husband pays no attention at home. This guy at work pays her attention.
Right.
Are you saying it's... No, I'm not saying it's right.
That's right.
I'm telling you how to prevent it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
You're right.
So, God created us with certain desires. One of those is he puts a hole in us that can only be satisfied by a relationship with him.
Yes.
And so man knows that, Brother Bart.
Right.
And when he can't get that peace with God, he starts going into the world and finding all these other things and putting it in that hole. And it'll satisfy for a little while. Then it leaves you wanting more.
Right.
So that thirst gets bigger. Jesus says this, taste of the Lord and see that he is good.
That's right.
He's the living water. He's the bread of life. He's telling us that a relationship with him is what will satisfy that need that we have.
Yes,
yet mankind, you know what we do? We migrate to those envious, evil men and we listen to what they say and we'll say they'll say it's another way.
Amen.
So we start building a house on the wrong thing, right? So, in the Word of God, we find the wisdom of God, and we build our lives on God's wisdom. If you'd study Proverbs, if you just take this book and you'd study a chapter of Proverbs every day, I said this the other week. In a month, you'd read through it, and then the next month, you'd do the same thing. You say, "I'd get bored with that." Yeah, but you'd know what it said. See, people don't know the Word of God. And so somebody will say something that it titillates their flesh. They go, "Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll embrace that as part of my philosophy." Problem is, if your philosophy is not based on theology, then you'll be led astray. So as we understand God and His Word, we establish a strong home and a strong life and a strong foundation. And he tells us that's what we're to build upon. Then he tells us in verse 4 how to fill a great house. The Bible said, by knowledge, well, let's look at verse 3 again. Said, through wisdom is a house builded. Notice this, and by understanding it is established.
Right.
Then in verse 4 he said, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
Yes.
So it's not just study God's word and know how to quote it. It's good, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, it's good to have these little kids get up and they learn Bible verses and they get up and they quote them, right? And then sometimes we'll have the girls home and they'll quote just repetition, they'll nail it. But see, if it never goes from being able to quote it to understanding how to apply it, you're missing the understanding and the knowledge.
That's right.
Right? And so we do that in studying the Word of God. We have to study it in context.
Yes.
Understand what God means. And then we have to start applying it.
Yes.
Give you an example.
Amen.
Right? That understanding. There's some things you're going to find out about human nature that are principles in the Word of God. But if you don't understand people, you don't see it.
That's right. Amen.
You got to be observant.
Yes, sir.
My girls will tell you, something will happen. They'll say, "You're right about that one, Daddy." Got that one right, Daddy. And it's not that I just watch people. I watch what people do, and I see patterns in people's lives, and you see somebody going down this road, you know what's going to happen most
That's
of the time.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
And so I just observe people. I watch people. I look at their tendencies. I try to understand some of the thinking behind decisions, right? I ask, but why'd you do that? Because one plus one is two. There's a logic in that.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Unless you do Common Core math, and then it doesn't really make sense anymore, does it? But how did you understand one plus one is two? It wasn't just somebody told you. Probably at some point in time when you were in school, they took an apple, one, took another apple, one, and said when you put them together, there's two of them. There's a logic.
Amen.
That's understanding. People don't, they read something, they don't understand it, right? So you know what we do? Well, we need a new Bible.
Preach on. Wow.
We need to change the Bible. Or, here's an alternative, get to know the author.
That's right.
That's a better alternative, right?
Right?
Get to know the author. And then as you know the author, let's say Brother Kenneth wrote a book. Okay? We all read it, and you're going, I don't know what in the world he means. But Brother Kenneth and I are best friends. We have lunch three times a week, and I go to him and say, now, Brother Kenneth, in this particular line right here, what did you mean by that? Well, here's what I meant. And I walk out going, okay. Now, see, you didn't get to know the author, so you're still reading the same thing. See, I have no clue what he's talking about. But since I have spent time with him,
Amen.
Then I understand
Yes, sir.
His thinking.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And by the way, let me say this. You can spend all the time with God you want to. He may not ever reveal the why he does things, and you got to be okay with that.
That's right. Amen.
Right? If he never tells you and you say, well, you owe me, he doesn't owe you anything.
That's right.
Right? He owes us nothing.
That's
so if he chooses to reveal those things to us, we ought to be thankful. If he chooses not to, we ought to be just as thankful. So if we're going to build our lives, right, and we're going to have a stable, wealthy life, right, again, I'm talking about what you got in your bank account. I'm talking about this peace and this joy and profitable life, abundant Christian life that we all say we want. It's not going to be because we have the absence of temptation and trials. Because Solomon didn't, right? It's not like Solomon's life was perfect. We look at David, it wasn't like David had no problems. He's telling us, the picture of knowledge is Christ. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, remember this? They'd come to him. They'd come to him with the law. Remember Satan came to him,
right,
quoted the word of God. What'd he do? Gave him the word of God back.
Right.
Well, he didn't just pull some random verse out of the air. He knew exactly what Satan was getting at. And so he had the scripture to counter that. As they were talking about Jesus, remember what he said? He said he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to do what? Fulfill it. Well, how did he know it? How would he do that if he didn't know it?
Right.
So he had wisdom, but he had understanding, right? He saw people, woman at the well.
Yes, sir.
The woman taken in adultery. He knew that.
Right.
But he also understood the heart of man, and he was able to take that. And he was able to use that as a lesson to teach them the word of God. So you and I have to understand, if we're going to be wise and we want to fill this great house, we have to understand the picture of knowledge is Christ. He knows everything. He is wisdom. He understood the law and life like no other that has ever been. So not only is he wisdom, he has all knowledge. And as we gain practical knowledge, biblical knowledge, wisdom teaches us how to apply that knowledge.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There are certain things, I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm wise enough in some areas. I'm almost 52. There's certain things that I'm just like, well, I don't know that. I'm probably not going to know it. So I'd be wise to find somebody that does know it. Right? I don't know anything about doing mechanic work. Doesn't bother me.
Right.
I'm fine. So there's people that do.
Yes, sir.
Now you may look at me and say, well, you know what, preacher, you ain't much of a man, but let me tell you this. Let me tell you who changes my oil in my truck. Crowfoot Automotive. Right? Get her done. That's right. Now, if you want to, Brother Kenneth called me and said, hey, I'm going to do some electrical work. Could you help me? I could help him with that. I know how to do some electrical work. Right. If you ask me to come over here and help you change something in your vehicle, I'll say, call Brother Randy. Call Brother Jimmy. I'll come over here and fellowship with you, but I'm not getting in there messing with that stuff. Because then when I tear it up, you'll get mad and leave the church. You wouldn't, but some would. No, I'm kidding. That's just wisdom, right?
You're right, bro.
So there are certain things I can do. There are certain things I can't do. There are certain things about the Bible I know. There's certain things about the Bible I know real well. There's certain things you ask me, I don't know. Well, you're a preacher. Let me ask you something. Have you seen how thick that book is?
Amen.
Now, you tell me somebody that knows that whole book, knows everything. I'll say they're a liar. And we may get to heaven, God say, all of you got it wrong.
You're right.
But wisdom teaches me to get around the right people, stay away from the wrong people, take what I learned from the Word of God and start applying it to my life, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to be profitable.
Right.
I'm going to keep my... Anybody know anybody in your life, maybe family, friend, co-worker? Every time you're around them, they tell you all this drama going on in their life. Let me rephrase that. Is there anybody that doesn't have somebody like that in your life? Now, you be honest. Don't raise your hand. Don't shout out. But in your mind, here's what I want to ask you. Those people that you know, and you can't know their heart, whether they're saved or not. I know. I'm just asking. In your mind, if you were your best guess, would you say that they spend a lot of time in the Word of God? Would you say that they're walking with God, right? Now, maybe they are. I'm just asking. You know them. I'm not trying to give a hard and fast rule, but most of the people that I know that have all this drama and all the problems in their life, you know what's missing? They're either not in church, or if they are, you can't find them half the time with the FBI and bloodhounds. When you look at their philosophy, which again is very evident now because of social media, you look at their philosophy about life, it's more carnal than it is spiritual, which leads me to think by the fruit that they don't have a very good relationship with God, and they're not probably taking the principles of the Word of God and making that part of their life. Is that fair? I mean, I'm not saying that's every case, but I'm saying in most cases, if we were honest, I'm not talking about just, well, you know, they come to church. So what? That plant right here is more faithful than most Baptists I know, but that, I mean, you see where I'm going with this? There's something missing. Most likely, they've not built their house on wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. The Bible said, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. So, as Solomon, who was the wisest man, is telling his son, he's got pretty good track record, and I think he has the authority to tell him this, right? And he's trying to keep him away from a life of destruction.
Yes, sir. That's good. Amen.
He's trying to keep us, God's trying to keep us out of the same mess.
Right.
He tells us how to do it. Godly character. So, again, my experience with people, don't run out of here if you are by chance watching by way of internet, right? You say, that's not me. Okay, you're the exception. My experience is the less people are in church,
right?
Yes, sir. The less people are around godly influences, the less time they spend in the Word of God. When they're willing to embrace worldly philosophy to guide their life principles, right? They usually have a life filled with what we would call drama.
Yes, sir.
There's no peace.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
So they have no joy, have no peace. Critical, you know the type. But then you have someone who loves God, spends time with the Lord in prayer, Bible study, tries to be faithful to church, right? Reads the Word of God, has some understanding about it, tries to apply the principles of the Word of God to their life, and they usually have a wealthy life.
Come on, that's good.
Full, right?
Come on, right?
But the choice is yours. Choice is mine. God's laying the plate out, laying the food on the table. Here it is. You eat it. You take it. You do what I tell you to do. You're going to be fine. If you choose not to, there's consequences.
That's right? That's right.
And so you've got to decide in your life.
Yes, sir.
I've got to decide mine if it's worth it.
Amen.
And it is.
Amen. Amen.
But it's your choice and mine.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads tonight. Miss Susan's coming to the piano. The altar's open. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted him as your personal Savior. Be a good night. Good night to get to know him. Good night to call on him and trust him as your Savior.
Yes, strong, dear God.
If you'll come, we'd love to take God's word and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven.
Yes, help me, Lord God.
Maybe tonight you look at your life and it's a mess. You're going, I wish somebody would tell me how to fix it.
Yes.
Well, this book will do it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But you've got to get around the right people. Maybe there's people in your life you're saying, you know what? They're not good influences. They're not helping me in my Christian walk. And I'm not saying we shun them. I'm not saying that we never fellowship with them and talk with them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you're letting them have too much influence in your life. If all they ever do is give you this carnal philosophy of life, they can't give you, well, you know, the Bible says that. I preached on it the other week. Half God said. If we'll make that the basis of our life, your decisions will be made for you.
Amen.
But you better be careful. So would I. I better be careful just like you. This is why being in church is so important.
Yes, sir.
Sure, it's the preaching. Sure, it's the singing. But every so often, every couple days, we need to be around each other.
Yes, sir.
And we ought to enjoy being around each other.
Come on.
Right?
That's good.
And there's a pattern. There's a pattern.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for loving us enough to give us truth. I ask you, Lord, to help us as we try to follow you, that you'd give us understanding and wisdom,
yes,
knowledge. Thank you so much for those that made their way out tonight, those watching by way of internet. Thank you most of all for you meeting with us here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.